When Christopher Nolan's Interstellar hit theaters in 2014, it wasn't just another sci-fi blockbuster. The film represented something extraordinary, a rare marriage of cutting-edge astrophysics and Hollywood storytelling that captivated both scientists and general audiences. Behind this achievement stood physicist Kip Thorne, whose half-century career exploring black holes and gravitational waves made him the perfect scientific consultant. What began as a creative partnership with producer Linda Obst evolved into one of cinema's most scientifically accurate portrayals of cosmic phenomena. The film has since become required viewing in many university physics courses, with Neil deGrasse Tyson calling it the most scientifically accurate science fiction film ever made. Even Stephen Hawking, after a private screening, praised its portrayal of black hole physics. Let's journey through the warped space-time of interstellar science, exploring how Thorne helped transform abstract physics concepts into a visual feast that changed how we imagine the cosmos. In 2005, producer Linda Obst approached her longtime friend Kip Thorne with an idea for a science fiction film involving wormholes, concepts Thorne had pioneered in his theoretical work. What began as a casual conversation evolved into a 9-year journey to create a blockbuster that would inspire audiences to learn about physics while enjoying a compelling human story. The project gained immediate momentum when Steven Spielberg expressed interest after reading their treatment. At their first meeting in March 26, Thorne established two scientific guidelines that would shape the film. Nothing would violate firmly established laws of physics, and any speculations would spring from real science that respectable scientists considered possible. Spielberg embraced these principles and agreed to convene a workshop at Caltech, bringing together 14 scientists for an exhilarating 8-hour discussion that generated numerous ideas. Jonathan Jonah Nolan was selected as screenwriter, and he collaborated extensively with Thorne, often meeting at Caltech's faculty club to brainstorm concepts like gravitational anomalies. Their work was interrupted by the Writers Guild strike and eventually by Spielberg's departure from the project when he and Paramount couldn't reach an agreement. The project found new life when Christopher Nolan took over as director in December 2012. Nolan combined Jonah's script with another project he had been developing, injecting fresh perspective while generally respecting Thorne's scientific guidelines. From January to May 2013, Christopher intensely rewrote the screenplay, occasionally calling Thorne to discuss scientific issues. Thorne found scientific solutions for nearly all of Nolan's creative ideas, writing detailed memos with diagrams after midnight brainstorming sessions. For the film's visual effects, Nolan introduced Thorne to Paul Franklin of Double Negative, who assembled a team including physicist Oliver James and engineer Eugenie von Tunzelmann. For months, Thorne formulated equations for visualizing black holes and wormholes, testing them with Mathematica, before sending them to Oliver, who converted them into sophisticated code for IMAX quality images. This collaboration produced scientifically accurate and visually stunning results. Thorne was ecstatic when Oliver sent him the first ultra-high-definition images of a fast-spinning black hole, something no scientist had ever seen before. The cast also engaged deeply with the scientific concepts. Matthew McConaughey and Thorne had a fascinating conversation ranging through physics, quantum mechanics, religion, and philosophy. Anne Hathaway contacted Thorne with surprisingly technical physics questions about time-gravity relationships. Thorne even wrote equations on Professor Brand's blackboards for scenes with Michael Caine and Jessica Chastain, who treated him with warm deference as the film's real scientist. To understand Interstellar's scientific foundation, we must first grasp how physicists view our universe. Born in the Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago, our universe expanded from an ultra-hot gas to form roughly a trillion galaxies. As it cooled, gravity pulled higher density regions inward to create these galaxies, vast collections of stars, planets, and interstellar gas. Most large galaxies contain central black holes weighing millions of times more than our Sun. Our Milky Way galaxy is similar to nearby Andromeda, containing about a trillion stars and spanning 100,000 light years. Within our solar system, 8 planets orbit the Sun, which will eventually exhaust its nuclear fuel in another 6.5 billion years, expand to engulf Earth, then shrink to become a white dwarf. Stars much heavier than our Sun collapse into either neutron stars, incredibly dense spheres about the size of Chicago, or black holes, which are made solely of warped space and time with event horizons from which nothing can escape. These black holes, central to Interstellar's story, represent some of the most extreme physics in our universe. The universe operates according to physical laws that scientists have struggled to discover since the 17th century. This progressive understanding has revealed different domains of physics: Newtonian laws governing everyday motion, Einstein's relativistic laws addressing very fast objects and intense gravity, and quantum laws explaining the very small. By 1957, it became clear these laws are fundamentally incompatible in realms where gravity is intense and quantum fluctuations are strong, necessitating yet undiscovered laws of quantum gravity, a key plot point in Interstellar. The science in the film spans 3 categories: established truths, like black holes and gravitational lensing, educated guesses, like the possibility of catastrophic crop blights, and speculations, like gravitational anomalies possibly caused by our universe existing as a brain in a higher dimensional bulk. Throughout history, scientific understanding evolves. Yesterday's speculation becomes tomorrow's truth, and occasionally, established truths are revolutionized by new discoveries. Einstein's relativistic laws reveal how gravity emerges from the warping of space-time, with profound implications for everything from GPS satellites to black holes like Gargantua and Interstellar. Time flows differently depending on gravitational strength, a phenomenon that enables Cooper's few hours near Gargantua to correspond to decades on Earth. Einstein's brilliant 1912 insight that gravity results from time warping is captured in his law of time warps. Everything likes to live where it will age most slowly, and gravity pulls it there. The greater the time slowing, the stronger gravity's pull. Modest on Earth, microseconds per day, enormous on neutron stars, hours per day, and infinite at a black hole surface where time stops completely. This phenomenon explains why Cooper ages only hours while his daughter Murph ages decades. Experiments have confirmed Einstein's predictions, from Pound and Rebka's 1959 Harvard Tower experiment detecting trillionths of a second differences, to Vesit's 1976 rocket-based atomic clock showing 30 microsecond daily differences at 10,000 kilometer altitude. Modern GPS systems rely on correcting for these time differences, demonstrating how Einstein's theoretical insights eventually became essential to everyday technology. Einstein also realized that if time can be warped, space must also be warped, a concept he fully formulated in his 1915 field equation of general relativity. The 1976-77 Viking spacecraft experiments confirmed this by measuring radio signal delays near the Sun, revealing space warping that matched Einstein's predictions to within 0.1%. This warping enables wormholes connecting distant parts of the universe and creates gravitational lensing effects seen around black holes like Gargantua. Near black holes, warped space-time forces initially parallel paths to either converge or diverge, depending on their orientation. The Moon's Tendex lines, visual embodiments of space warping, squeeze Earth's lateral sides while stretching it toward and away from the Moon, remarkably producing ocean tides despite such tiny warping. On Miller's planet in the film, these tidal forces are enormously larger, creating the huge waves encountered by Cooper's crew. Black holes are made entirely from warped space and warped time, containing no matter whatsoever. Their structure can be understood through several key aspects. Their warped space, like an ant on a trampoline discovering circumference smaller than diameter, their event horizon, where time slows to a halt, and space whirl, spinning holes drag space into a vortex-like motion. Unlike common depictions in films like Disney's The Black Hole, Interstellar is the first Hollywood movie to correctly show how humans would actually see a black hole, as a black shadow on a star field with gravitationally lensed light creating concentric distortion patterns. The shadow appears flattened on one side due to the space world boosting light rays. A black hole's warped space can be visualized like an ant on a trampoline with a heavy rock. The blind ant discovers its universe is warped by measuring a circle's circumference and finding it's far smaller than the diameter. At the center lies a singularity, a tiny region of infinite warping where tidal forces become infinitely strong. Unlike the trampoline where the rock produces warping, a black hole space is warped by the enormous energy of its own warping, a self-bootstrapping phenomenon fundamental to Einstein's relativistic laws. A black hole's trapping power comes from its extreme time warping. Near the horizon, time flows increasingly slowly, and at the horizon itself, time slows to a halt, creating an infinitely strong gravitational pull. Inside the horizon, time becomes so warped that it flows in what would normally be considered a spatial direction, downward toward the singularity. This downward flow of time is why nothing can escape from a black hole. Spinning black holes drag space around them into a vortex-like whirling motion, similar to a tornado. This space whirl moves fastest near the hole center and slows with distance. Anything falling toward the horizon gets dragged into this whirling motion with no possible protection against it, like a straw caught in a tornado's wind. Mathematical formulas derived from Einstein's laws precisely describe a black hole's three aspects of space-time warping: the warp of space, time slowing, and space whirl. From these mathematical details, physicists can deduce everything about the black hole except the nature of its singularity, which requires quantum gravity. A black hole's properties are entirely determined by just two characteristics, its mass and spin rate. From these two parameters, we can deduce everything else about it, its size, gravitational pull, horizon shape, and gravitational lensing effects. As John Wheeler, who named black holes, famously said, a black hole has no hair, meaning it has no additional independent properties beyond mass and spin. Gargantua must be extraordinarily massive, about 100 million times the sun's mass, for Miller's planet to survive its extreme tidal forces at such close proximity. At this mass, Gargantua's horizon circumference equals about 1 billion kilometers, roughly the same as Earth's orbit around the Sun, with a radius of approximately 150 million kilometers. To achieve the extreme time dilation on Miller's planet, 1 hour there equals 7 years on Earth, Gargantua must spin at an almost impossible rate, just one part in 100 trillion less than the maximum possible spin rate. At the maximum rate, a black hole's horizon would disappear, leaving a naked singularity. At Gargantua's near maximum spin, objects falling into it, like TARS, would appear to orbit just above the horizon at nearly light speed, taking about 1 hour per revolution as seen from afar. Near Gargantua, gravity is so intense that light can become temporarily trapped in unstable orbits outside the horizon. These photons orbit the black hole multiple times before eventually escaping or falling in. Thorne calls this trapped light the shell of fire, which plays a crucial role in computer simulations of Gargantua's visual appearance. The escaping photons create the visual edge of Gargantua's shadow and produce a thin, bright ring of fire visible to the Endurance's crew. Navigating near Gargantua requires managing enormous speeds. The Endurance moves at 1/3 light speed, while Miller's planet travels at 55% light speed. To reach Miller's planet, spacecraft must execute precise velocity changes of roughly 100,000 kilometers per second, far beyond conventional rocket technology. Nature provides a solution through gravitational slingshots around smaller black holes orbiting Gargantua. black holes emit no light, so Gargantua can only be seen by its influence on light from other objects, primarily stars and its accretion disk. Gargantua casts a black shadow on the star field while deflecting light rays through gravitational lensing, creating a distinctive pattern. This includes a totally black shadow region surrounded by a very thin ring of fire and a pattern of concentric shells of stars. The shell of fire surrounding Gargantua plays a key role in producing both its shadow and the thin ring of fire alongside it. This shell contains nearly trapped photon orbits where light rays can circle the black hole multiple times. When observing Gargantua, white light rays from distant stars get trapped on the edges of this shell, going round and round before escaping toward the observer's eyes, creating the ring of fire. For a non-spinning black hole, light from a single star can reach the camera via multiple paths through warped space. Typically, one ray bends around the left side of the hole, another around the right, creating two distinct images of the same star. As a camera orbits the black hole, these images move in distinct patterns. Primary images move smoothly from left to right while deflecting away from the black hole, while secondary images appear to emerge from the shadow's edge, swing through the annulus between the shadow and Einstein ring, and then descend back toward the shadow. Gargantua's rapid spin dramatically alters the gravitational lensing patterns. Its space whirl creates two distinct Einstein rings and concentrates star streaming into narrowed high-speed strips along the back edge of the shadow. Secondary star images appear between the two Einstein rings, circulating along closed curves in the opposite direction to the primary image's motion. Christopher Nolan wanted Gargantua to look physically accurate, so visual effects supervisor Paul Franklin consulted with Kip Thorne. Using Einstein's relativistic laws, Thorne derived equations for light ray trajectories and implemented them in Mathematica, then passed them to Oliver James, who converted them into high-quality IMAX-ready code. At Double Negative, Eugene von Tunzelmann's artistic team added the accretion disk, background galaxy, and spacecraft to create the final compelling scenes. Typical accretion disks emit intense radiation that would be lethal to humans, so Nolan gave Gargantua an anemic disk. Rather than millions of degrees, Gargantua's disk is only a few thousand degrees like the sun's surface, emitting mostly light rather than X-rays or gamma rays. The disk is thin and confined mostly to the equatorial plane. Such disks may be common around black holes that haven't fed in millions of years, where the magnetic field has leaked away and the jet has died, making it relatively safer for humans. In Interstellar, human civilization faces extinction from blight. To address scientific plausibility concerns, Thorne organized a dinner with four Caltech biologists at the Athenaeum in July 2008. Their consensus? Cooper's world is scientifically possible, but unlikely. The experts outlined various catastrophe scenarios that could produce such a world, from breakdowns in food/water distribution systems to evolving pathogens that outpace human immunity. Most alarming was the possibility of a generalist blight that attacks chloroplasts, which all plants need for photosynthesis. While such a scenario could theoretically wipe out all plant life, turning Earth into a desert, the biologists considered it possible but improbable, sufficient for the film's premise. Cooper's world is a largely agrarian society with a drastically reduced population. Though life remains tolerable with small amenities like baseball continuing, humanity no longer aspires to greatness, merely survival. Most believe the catastrophes are over and life might improve. But in reality, the blight is so lethal and jumps so quickly between crops that humanity is doomed within Cooper's grandchildren's lifetime. Professor Brand warns Cooper that as blight thrives, Earth's atmosphere will lose oxygen, causing people to suffocate before they starve. Thorne consulted biologists and geophysicists about this claim. They explain that oxygen, O2, is created primarily through photosynthesis and destroyed by breathing, burning, and decay. If a pathogen destroyed all chloroplasts as speculated, photosynthesis would end as plants died. However, even after 30 years of decay, only about 1% of atmospheric oxygen would be consumed, leaving plenty to breathe, but creating enough CO2 to make breathing unpleasant and potentially raise Earth's temperature by 10°C. Professor Brand reveals to Cooper that Lazarus missions were sent to search for habitable planets beyond our solar system. Cooper points out the seemingly impossible challenge. No planet in our solar system can support life, and it would take 1,000 years to reach the nearest star. The distances are staggering. Tau Ceti, the nearest star thought to have a habitable planet, is 11.9 light years away. Using current technology, interstellar travel is practically impossible. Voyager 1 travels at 17 kilometers per second, while the Endurance in Interstellar averages about 20 kilometers per second between Earth and Saturn. Even with advanced 21st century rocket technology and solar system slingshots reaching perhaps 300 kilometers per second, it would still take 5,000 years to reach Proxima Centauri and 13,000 years to reach Tau Ceti, making a wormhole necessary for practical interstellar travel. John Wheeler named astrophysical wormholes after their resemblance to wormholes in apples. For an ant on an apple's surface, its universe, a wormhole provides a shortcut from one side to another through the apple's interior, a bulk or hyperspace. The wormhole's wall can be considered part of the ant's universe, connecting different regions, or, alternatively, as a shortcut through the bulk between points in the universe. In 1916, just 1 year after Einstein formulated general relativity, Ludwig Flamm discovered a solution to Einstein's equations describing a wormhole. In 1962, John Wheeler and Robert Fuller discovered it actually has a dynamic life cycle, initially expanding, then shrinking, and pinching off so quickly that nothing, not even light, can travel through before destruction. In 1985, Carl Sagan asked Thorne to critique the science in his novel Contact. Thorne discovered that any traversable wormhole must be threaded by exotic matter with negative energy. While quantum physics allows for exotic matter, demonstrated in the Casimir effect, it remained unclear if enough could exist to hold a wormhole open. The wormhole in Interstellar was designed as if created by an ultra-advanced civilization living in the bulk. Working with Oliver James at Double Negative, Thorne provided 3 adjustable handles to shape the wormhole: its radius, fixed at about 1 kilometer, its length, and its lensing width, determining how strongly it distorts light. After seeing the various options, Christopher Nolan chose a very short wormhole, just 1% of its radius and length, with modest lensing, 5% of radius, to ensure the audience could clearly see through it while still showing some intriguing gravitational effects. Our universe exists in 4-dimensional space-time, 3 space dimensions plus time. Though time is a dimension, it differs fundamentally from space as we can only travel forward through it, not backward. Space and time are unified in counterintuitive ways. When viewing distant objects, we see them as they were in the past, and observers moving at different speeds disagree about which events occur simultaneously. Until the 1980s, most physicists considered the bulk, a higher dimensional space containing our warped universe, merely a visual aid rather than reality. This changed with Michael Green and John Schwartz's 1984 breakthrough in quantum gravity, which worked only if our universe exists as a brain embedded in a bulk with 9 space dimensions. Their superstring theory suggested the bulk truly exists and can measurably influence our universe. In Interstellar, the bulk has just 1 extra dimension beyond our 4-dimensional spacetime, the outback dimension extending perpendicular to our brain. This 5th dimension plays a crucial role throughout the film, particularly in the professor's theories and the film's climactic sequences. Drawing from Edwin Abbott's 1844 satirical novella Flatland, Thorne illustrates how beings in a 2-dimensional universe would perceive a 3-dimensional sphere passing through their plane. They would see a point appear from nowhere, expand into a circle reaching maximum diameter, then contract back to a point before disappearing, the cross-sections of the sphere as it moves through their dimension. If hyperspherical beings from a five-dimensional bulk passed through our universe, we would observe their three-dimensional cross-sections. First, a point appearing from nothing, expanding to a sphere of maximum diameter, then contracting to a point before vanishing completely. Bulk beings couldn't consist of atomic matter, which requires three spatial dimensions. While bulk beings might possess unknown forms of four-dimensional matter, their cross-sections would likely appear transparent to us. However, we could detect their gravity and space-time warping. In Interstellar, characters reverentially refer to bulk beings as they, believing these entities are looking out for humanity. Christopher Nolan's intriguing concept reveals these beings are actually evolved future humans who have acquired an additional spatial dimension. As Cooper explains to TARS, they aren't beings. They're us trying to help. In Interstellar, Cooper enters the Tesseract through a white checkerboard pattern, falling down a channel between beams, eventually reaching a large chamber where he floats, disoriented. This chamber represents one three-dimensional face of the four-dimensional Tesseract, enhanced by Christopher Nolan and visual effects expert Paul Franklin into something remarkably complex. A Tesseract is a hypercube, a cube in four spatial dimensions. Just as moving a point creates a line, moving a line perpendicular to itself creates a square, and moving a square perpendicular to itself creates a cube, moving a cube perpendicular to itself creates a tesseract. The tesseract has eight three-dimensional faces, cubes, just as a cube has six two-dimensional faces, squares. Since Cooper is made of atoms held together by forces that can only exist in three space dimensions, he must remain confined to one of the tesseract's three-dimensional faces. The tesseract ascends from the singularity into the bulk, fourth dimension, and transports Cooper through the bulk to Earth. Though the distance from Gargantua to Earth is about 10 billion light years in our universe, it's only about 1 AU, Sun-Earth distance, through the bulk. Nolan's tesseract creates an intricate lattice where cross-sections of Murph's bedroom travel along extrusions in different directions. At each intersection of two extrusions, a bedroom appears. These bedrooms are out of time sync with each other, each one representing Murph's room at a specific moment. Cooper can move faster than the flow of time in these extrusions, traveling diagonally through open channels to reach different moments in Murph's timeline. Before Christopher Nolan became Interstellar's director, his brother Jonah taught him about rule sets. For a science fiction movie to maintain suspense, audiences must understand what the laws of physics and technology allow or forbid. Without clear rules, viewers expect miraculous solutions and tension fails to build. Since backward time travel falls under quantum gravity, a largely unknown territory, Chris established two specific rules. First, physical objects and fields with three space dimensions cannot travel backward in time from one location in our brain to another, nor can information they carry. Second, gravitational forces can carry messages into our brain's past. Though Cooper travels backward relative to our brain's time by viewing 10-year-old Murph from the Tesseract, he can't re-enter our brain in her era or send light to her. That would violate Rule 1. A one-way space-time barrier exists between them, allowing light to travel from Murph to Cooper, but not vice versa. However, gravity can cross this barrier. When Cooper pushes on a book's world tube, the book's extrusion through time, he creates gravitational forces that travel backward in time to affect objects in Murph's bedroom. The space colonies shown early in Interstellar were made possible by the quantum data TARS extracted from Gargantua's singularity and Cooper transmitted to Murph. By understanding the laws governing gravitational anomalies, Murph learned to control them. The key was likely reducing Newton's gravitational constant G inside Earth. Cutting it by a factor of 1,000 would reduce Earth's gravity proportionally, allowing the massive colonies to be lifted into space with conventional rockets. Interstellar conveys an optimistic message. We live in a universe governed by physical laws that humans are capable of discovering, deciphering, and using to control our fate. Even without bulk beings to help, humans can overcome catastrophes, from climate change to biological and nuclear disasters. But controlling our fate requires widespread understanding and appreciation of science, how it operates, what it teaches us about the universe, what it can achieve, and how we move from speculation to educated guess to truth. The film celebrates humanity's potential to master the science needed for survival. It shows how theoretical physics, often considered abstract and disconnected from everyday life, might ultimately save our species. Through Cooper and Murph's story, we see how understanding the universe's deepest laws can transform our relationship with gravity, space, and time itself. What makes Interstellar remarkable is not just its scientific accuracy, but how it weaves complex physics into a deeply human narrative about love, sacrifice, and hope. It demonstrates that scientific truth and emotional truth need not be at odds. Indeed, our greatest scientific achievements often spring from our most profound human connections. As we face our own planetary challenges in the real world, Interstellar reminds us that science is not just a collection of facts, but a powerful way of thinking that can help us navigate our most difficult problems. By embracing both scientific rigor and human creativity, we might just find our way to the stars.